Scott Mitchell, I think, has been on hold listening to this. So
poor dude.
Yeah. I wonder if there's, I mean, that would spice up the Rogers Center. Give it. How many people do you think are going to be there tonight?
Leave your bra.
15 grand.
Leave your bra at the park night.
Leave your bra at the park night. That's a promotion for people, I think. Kevin Biggio is making his debut tonight. And here's our main man, our Blue Jay reporter, Scott Mitchell. What's happening, Scotty?
Man, 4 years of these media meals, and I'm going to need a bro soon.
Yeah, it gets to the best of us, doesn't it?
catches up quickly.
Big time, man.
What's that meal like down there? Is it top shelf?
Oh, man, actually, I could talk all night about this one. It's poutine tater tots. make your own poutine. There's sandwiches. There's veggie burgers.
Oh,
great.
Wow.
It's a great spread. They've really upped their game this year. They moved us out to left field and then just gave us all the food. So I'm fine with it.
Wow. Now, are you expensing that to TSN or is it on a house?
No, it's coming out of my wallet, man.
Really?
We should probably have a nice long convo about that. Maybe I should be expensing
Yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
All day long. Ben, you are at work.
Ben, you could actually, you know, parlay that into a new segment for TSN. Hey, the press.
Mitchell's
press
media meal?
Yeah, Mitchell's media meal. Why not? Hey, listen, it's going to be a long summer. Long summer of Blue Jay updates.
Hey, Scotty, you've been around the league. There are some bad places, bad press box meals. And there are some great ones, but there's some bad ones.
Oh, there's some terrible ones. I mean,
What's the worst?
I gained 15 pounds, freshman 15, my first year on this beat.
No way.
What's the worst?
That's a tough call. Cleveland didn't have a great one. They gave you a bag of Lay's potato chips, and there was a nice fountain pop. So that one got to me after a full weekend of that.
After five bags of chips.
Well, yeah.
You know it's all, like, you know the
That's
fans?
It? A bag of chips?
I think they give you, what they do in Cleveland is they give you this voucher, and you can wander down into the stands and get whatever you want.
They do that in the NBA. They're doing that right now in the finals. You get a voucher in both Toronto and in Milwaukee.
They don't set you up with like a spread or anything.
There's no room because so much media.
So what? You got to have a spread somewhere. Sorry.
Yeah, it's amateur hour.
$20 does not go far at Scotiabank Arena.
No,
yeah.
No kidding.
Half a hot dog.
I agree. I'm a big spread guy as well.
No, you got to have options. I mean, come on. Kevin Biggio, he's going to make his debut tonight. He's 24. I mean, people have heard of him because he's having a very good season. And because of his last name, I mean, we all know his old man who's in the Hall of Fame. But what are the expectations? What are you hearing throughout the organization? I mean, he's come on strong over the past calendar year, but I don't think this was a guy when he was coming out of high school or college or whatever was expected to light the league on fire. He's nowhere close to the hype that Vladdy was getting, but I think they're pretty excited, are they not?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right about that. It's been interesting. It's funny thing is we just talked to Ross Atkins, and you know, I followed this guy since he was a fifth round pick out of Notre Dame, and you know that's what it was. This was a guy with obviously a name brand, and he's always been looked at as a hard worker. And I think the biggest thing that happened with him is he made some swing changes coming into last season, really unlocked a lot of power. So I asked Atkins, have you even had trouble putting a ceiling on this guy? And, you know, he completely agreed and said, you know, I think this organization from within looks at him as, you know, a real big wild card because, you know, there's a chance he's a glue guy, behind the scenes. They've talked about him as, you know, potentially their Dustin Pedroia, probably not an MVP, but a guy who, you know, his teammates rally around. Just a gritty guy that, you know, people, tend to love in this game. And when you add in the swing changes, you add in the plate discipline, it's been an interesting journey these last couple of years because, he looked like a guy who would, you know, maybe be a super utility guy that can move around and that's what he's going to do. But there's a real chance that, you know, he's a lot more than that. And he's such a smart kid and such a hard worker. Those are the types of players that it's real dumb to put ceilings on because he's busted through everyone so far. So, you know, this guy's got a good bat. The glove isn't going to be a huge value, but, the plate discipline with the power, it's a real intriguing package. And you know what? 2 years from now, we're going to find out a whole lot. And it wouldn't be surprised if, you know, people still tried to put ceilings on him and he continued to do what he's done, which is just blow through him.
Well, he's going to play at second tonight. And you mentioned the flavor of the day in baseball, super utility. And he even admitted today he doesn't know exactly where he's going to be, but he expects to move around the diamond. And Lourdes Gurriel Jr.'s up. And now he's playing, I think, left field tonight. And he's been working out as an outfielder down in AAA. And I think that is likely his projection as a major leaguer, as kind of a super utility guy. If Biggio falls into a similar line, I mean, does it get to a point where you want some stability, or is that kind of where we're at in 2019, where you see it with other clubs, where guys just move around the diamond all the time, and it doesn't really matter if you don't have a specific position?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Baseball is becoming more positionless and positionless as the years go by. And, you know, you look at the Tampa Bay Rays, they have about, you know, six or seven guys that can play two or three different spots. And what that does is obviously gives a manager a whole lot of options. It allows you to cover yourself for injuries, poor play, or whatever it may be. But, you know, there is a little more clarity on that. It sounds like second base is going to be where Biggio gets most of his reps to start. Obviously, he will dabble in the outfield at times. He can play a capable first base, a little backup there. He can play a little third. But it sounds like they're going to look at him at second, give him a long, hard look there, move around on certain days just when the lineup needs it. But and then Gurriel, who started the season as a potential shortstop option, they quickly kicked him over to second base when they signed Freddie Galvison. Obviously, that didn't go very well. We saw the throwing issues. It sounds like, you know, he's going to be more of an outfielder these days. They're going to look at him in the middle infield at times when the need is there, but you're going to see him a whole lot in left field. And, you know, I think that's the smart plan. I mean, same thing following Biggio around for 3 years now. Gurriel, once he signed, people looked at him as a super utility type almost immediately, and he did play a little outfield in Cuba. So to me, I the part that excites me about him is the bat. And I think, you know, being in the outfield and allowing him to kind of focus on that rather than some of the middle infield, you know, defensive things that he's been trying to develop over the last couple of years, I think that'll really, you know, help him along. And, you know, we'll start to see, you know, exactly what he is with the bat. And, you know, that's what excites this Blue Jays organization about him.
Scotty, with San Diego in, it's a couple of ex-members from the national junior team, guys we've watched through the years, Josh Naylor with the Padres. And then tomorrow, what time is tomorrow's game?
Tomorrow's a 3:07 start.
3:07, so that's perfect to go to the game and get to see Cal Quantrill, Paul Quantrill's kid. I think it's tomorrow, right? Is Cal tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Yeah, to toe the same rubber that his dad did, awesome. to make his start, I mean, I think that's fabulous. What a great day that could be.
Yeah, we talked to both Josh and Cal earlier today, and, you know, he told a great story. It worked out well, so well for both those guys, because Josh got the call kind of unexpectedly, you know, having a great year in AAA. But Cal got to come in yesterday with an off day for the Padres, and he actually went out to Port Hope, where he's from, and then took the Via Rail back in today. So he got a little chance. He said him and his dad played catch in their backyard. So, you know, it's a real interesting kind of vibe down here today, because there's a lot of youth, a lot of the future being on display for both teams here. And yeah, to get those guys and you know, obviously Cal is, I think it's his fourth start coming up tomorrow, but obviously first in Toronto, and then, you know, a major league debut for a kid from Mississauga. You know, it's a pretty special night down here. And you know, this kind of shows, you know, baseball is a sport that is moving in the direction of youth, and both these teams are two teams that are subscribing to that. And the Padres are, you know, a real interesting example for the Blue Jays to look at, because they're a couple years ahead of this rebuild, and they're obviously in contention, signing Hosmer last winter, and then Manny Machado. So, you know, there's a real good blueprint for Blue Jays fans to look at with this team about how you develop the pipeline, and then you start supplementing by adding some name brand pieces, which is what Blue Jays fans are hoping to be, you know, Ross Atkins and the decision makers here are going to be able to do over the next couple winters. And I think, you know, it's a really interesting kind of dynamic to see both these teams lining up with some fresh faces in the lineup as well.
Well, the next big name, the only big name left that is within contention of playing on the team this year is Bo Bichette. And if and when he comes up, and I'm not sure he will, I think they might service time him or play
that
dance.
Got to get
that
hair
him.
Up here.
Oh, the hair is immediately the best hair in Toronto.
Hands down.
Hands down. But if you get him up, you got Vladdy, you got Bichette, you got Biggio, you got Gurriel Jr., you got Rowdy, who's been playing a lot better. He's got an OPS up over 800. All of a sudden, Danny Jansen, you know, we'll see what happens with the bat. And he had a big hit, big home run the other day. That's, you know, that's five pieces. That feels, and Randall Grichuk, I guess, is here. Whether you like the contract or not, he's here for 5 years. A lot of the youth and a lot of the core that I believe they're hoping to build around could be here within the next couple of months.
Yeah, they been slowly kind of, you know, filtering these guys up. Obviously, Jansen last year, Guerrero, and then Biggio, and then, yeah, Bichette is going to be the guy. And, you know, it's an interesting case, and you mentioned the service time thing, and a lot of people have kind of speculated about that. You know, I talked to Atkins back in December, and he actually talked about, you know, a full year in AAA being ideal for him. But the fact is, I'm starting to believe, just based on some conversation I'm having, that he's going to be up in the second half this year. Which is, you know, a little bit of a deviation. And I think, you know, when you look at what the Guerrero situation was, I think they've looked at this now. They want to break these kids in this year and really set them loose next year to find out what they've got. And that's what this season has been about, is about finding out what you have. You know, you throw Teoscar Hernandez out there for the first 6 weeks, and, you know, he craters and fails, and you start to find out, you know, what he is. And, you know, I think they want to look at some of these other infielders. Obviously, Freddie Galvis has played well enough that, you know, maybe if you can move him, you know, there's some opportunity for Bichette. So that one's going to be a real interesting one to track. And he's down with the broken hand right now, but sounds like they're expecting him back in early June. So, you know, that'll be an interesting one to track. And I think, you know, it's probably a 50-50 to 60-40 scenario right now that he's probably in the lineup at some point in the second half of the season, especially if he returns from this hand injury and starts to rake.
Thank you, Scotty. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, boys.
There he is, Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, live from the Rogers Center.